How long have you been listening to podcasts? It's been more than 20 years since the term was coined, and the medium has kind of exploded.
So right now, it feels like everyone and their dog has a podcast, and a lot of creators are wondering, what's the point of starting a podcast when the space is already so crowded?
It's true. There are a lot of podcasts out there that are competing for clicks today. But that doesn't mean you should shy away from starting one.
So smash that subscribe button and let's explore how podcasting can level up your skills in some critical and unexpected ways. Hello, and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers, brought to you by Telus Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. On this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges that face Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
A podcast isn't just a passion project. It can be your living portfolio. Creating and sustaining a show can open doors, make connections, and demonstrate skills that go far beyond the microphone.
100%, Jen. As we've learned, there's a lot that goes into making a podcast, like writing, research, guest chasing, project management, production, and so much more. And those skills are super important for all creators, not just podcasters.
To learn more about the potential payoffs and the effort required, I'm so excited to sit down today with the creators and co-hosts of the Bombshell Brunches podcast, Christina Lau and Raquel Rodenberg. Christina, Raquel, welcome to First Frame.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Thank you.
It's great to have you both here with us today. Before we talk about your podcast, though, specifically, I'd love if you could tell our listeners and our viewers a little bit about yourselves. Christina, why don't you go first?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Christina Lau. I use any pronouns. I am an artist, an advocate, and an acting and career coach. And I have been an entertainment consultant with about 15 years in the worlds of media and entertainment. So specifically, I'm an actor. I'm a singer-songwriter, a coach acting with Sonder Acting Studio, and I'm a community and industry organizer in the creative industries. Obviously, I'm also the co-founder of Bombshell Brunches.
You have to be busy. Garza, sounds so busy.
And what about you, Raquel? What's your background?
For myself, I'm a strategic communications and behavior change consultant. So I have over 10 years of global experience in Europe and Africa and Canada, specializing mostly in public health, community engagement, and culture-led campaigns. So long story short, I design and use proven science-based strategies that help organizations earn the trust of their audience, shift their audience's behavior, and help them work more meaningfully with the communities that they serve. And of course, I'm also the co-founder of Bombshell Brunches.
Also someone else that seems extremely busy. So thank you for taking the time to meet with us today. Now tell us more about your podcast, though. When and how did you guys decide to even get behind the mic?
I didn't.
You sound like what I did to Jen then.
Yeah, I did not. Jen and I, we can have chats about this. Yes. I did not opt for this.
Was this you, Cam? You're the one that started the podcasting chain on your end.
I called up Jen and said, hey, I have an idea. What do you think about this? But you're going to need to do it with me. And she's like, what?
At least she said what and not what I said, which was no, hard no.
I think it was like a one sentence no turned into the second sentence was like, well, maybe I could fit it in this way. So basically, to give you guys the long and the short of it, Bombshell Brunches actually started out as a monthly brunch meetup. So it was truly just like an email CC list. And it was for women in the business side of the music industry. So every time you met another woman who worked in the same area, you're like, oh my goodness, you get me. This is like a shared lived experience type of moment. And so we would brunch together. And then I left the music industry and I missed our community so much. And I recognized this gap and had a dream of bringing these conversations to more of like a global scale. And I thought podcasting was kind of the perfect way to do that. I felt that building this like parasocial relationship with people was the closest thing to doing these brunches all over. So anyways, that was my pitch to Christina, which she very happily trotted along beside me.
Meanwhile, I was trying to just live my life, you know?
Well, I love the evolution of it. Like you said, the brunches first, and then it sort of just evolved. And you're like, yeah, this could be a podcast, right? So how long have you guys been doing the podcast, or how many seasons is it so far?
We've done over 150 interviews. So I guess we were closer to like 200 when it comes to like interviews, initiatives, events. But I just want to be really clear that running on the back of what Raquel said, Bombshell Brunches started as a community. And then we explored these different platforms and different ways of creating and build and enriching that community. So from purely podcasting, we started in 2020. The brunches actually started in 2017. Okay. We did, I would say, about 150 interviews of podcasting and live streaming. Shout out to Tell Us Story Hive for giving us both of these opportunities. We were so grateful to be invited as part of the initial cohort of the visual podcast with Story Hive. Mm-hmm. So that allowed us to really formulate with the financial and the, I guess, human resource tools that Story Hive provides, a more structured season. So that was really our first time that we had a very formal, visually captured, really beautifully sounding and looking season.
So I want to talk about some of the obstacles or the challenges that you've encountered to becoming very successful podcasters. So Christina, let's start with you. What would you say was the steepest part of your learning curve? Because you were like me, we weren't too keen on doing it right off the bat.
For me, I'm an absolute technophobe. And so I love entertainment. I'm so used to being on stage and on screen, but I'm not the one operating the camera. And that's a huge differentiator between a performing artist, which is where I came from, and a content creator. So for me, that was by far the biggest obstacle I had to overcome. And having someone like Raquel, who has a lot of patience for panicking people, was really, really helpful, as well as resources, including the Story Hive team, to help me understand how to put things together.
Raquel, what was your steepest part of your learning curve?
Christina forced me out of my comfort zone in many different ways. I am kind of the opposite to her, whereas technology and being behind the scenes, being in communications, marketing, the strategy, the systems, all of this stuff comes pretty naturally. I work in a lot of different technology day to day, so that's pretty easy. But I thought podcast, I thought audio only, my face isn't going to be seen. I'm not going to have that startling camera in your face moment. And then I decided to pair up with an actor and a singer-songwriter who loves the stage. And she's like, I will only do this if we're on camera. And I'm like, what? What do you mean we're on camera? It was so terrifying. She also forced me to put things out before I felt they were truly, truly ready. Because for me, I will adjust and adjust and adjust and make it so perfect, but then nothing would go out. We wouldn't have over 150 episodes to talk about.
We'd have two. We would have two.
She literally talks about this all the time. She's like, do not die on your perfectionist hill. And I'm like, I don't know. It's an okay hill. Like, you put out some good stuff. And yeah, you have to be able to actually put stuff out. I don't think I would have been able to do it on my own. So on that tip, I think partner with people who compliment you. It's not really about being a perfectionist or not. I just don't think I would have gotten over it. I think I would have just like hoarded a lot of content and it never would have gone out anywhere. So partner with people who compliment what you do great and compliment what you don't, and you know, find your people, find your team.
I would add to that and just say, in podcasting, people are your power. So on all sides of the lens and all sides of this this platform, your people are your power. Take the time to find who it is you want to work with and why on every side. And I think you'll be a lot better off.
One intimidating part of podcasting is the fact that it is not a one and done. You know, you're not launching a podcast to maybe only do two or three episodes, right? So knowing that it is a long-term commitment, how did you know that you were able to commit to this long-term?
I did not.
You didn't know you were going to be multi-years into this.
Absolutely not.
No.
I was not, yeah, neither of us did.
Christina's right. We did not anticipate that the podcast would last this long. We also didn't anticipate that it would be shorter. So I think what really happened is we committed to Bombshell Brunches as a community and as a movement. Mm-hmm. And for us, it really centers on our why and what it is. The outcome could be in-person events. It could be a blog. It could be a vlog. It could be a podcast. So the podcast specifically, that portion of it wasn't really what we focused on as much. We had committed to the community. And then the beauty in podcasting is I feel like it chose us, and I feel like it continues to choose us. The relationships that we build through it, the life-changing conversations we've had through it, it's one of those things that I think it has the reins on that one.
And I think Cam and I can understand that a little bit. I know for myself, when we started this podcast, I actually found it very hard at the beginning to come up with what were our topics going to be for per episode, who were our guests going to be. And by the time we started thinking about what is season two going to look like, the list got longer and longer and longer and longer. And then we had to like cut it down, which we actually thought was probably the hardest part, is which ones do we keep in? Which ones do we keep out? Well, we've got this whole list of guests, right?
The way we started was, in my mind, we were aggregators. We aggregated as much information as we possibly could. And if you're thinking of starting a podcast or you're on the beginning of your content creation journey, at the beginning, it feels like you're an aggregator. You're just pulling as much information as you can. You don't know where you're going. Mm-hmm. In the second phase of it, you become a distiller. So you start to kind of check, okay, we've got all these people, all these networks, all these relationships. How are we distilling our brand or our why or our community or the superpower that we came into this platform wanting to show and share with the world? And I think that's a really important distinction. A lot of people don't commit to a full career anymore. I think the statistic is something like you change careers in North America 8 times. So there's no long-term commitment to one career. But it's really important to understand that you want to live in this particular world. And then you don't get to necessarily decide what the tides are doing. You get to decide what kind of vessel you want to build. And for us, we decided we wanted to be in a proverbial yacht on these waters, right? But other people might want to choose a different avenue. You don't know until you start.
You mentioned how the podcast sort of keeps choosing you and like you're like, oh, we think we're done and all the rest. But and both of you have amazing experience, but it also sounds like you have a lot of other commitments. So how do you actually balance this long-term commitment you've now made to the podcast with other things in your life?
I've tried boundaries. Boundaries have not worked. But what has worked really well for us with all of the many things that we do was actually transitioning from weekly to seasons. So that's kind of what I alluded to earlier. That was a huge help, at least for me, because then I could look at my calendar and I could say, okay, we're going to commit to, you know, doing all of our episodes for this one season. We usually batch record. So we batch record within 2 days. So if it's like an 8-episode season, we're going to record everything in 2 days. It's a long 2 days. It's a tiring 2 days. It's a very fulfilling 2 days, but we get it done. We record, we're done. And then it goes to our editors and it's a different mental shift of type of work you're doing. So that has helped. Christina has been a huge champion from the get-go on bringing in a team. And we have like a rock solid team now. So that is also a game changer. But I think the batching has been the biggest thing in the teams and the seasons. How about for you?
Wherever you can, find a way to get paid to train. Mm-hmm. So many content creators are not just self-made already. You have to find a way to make this a living. And if you are looking to make this a living, I'm putting my career strategy and career coaching hat on right now. Everyone I speak to and everyone I coach, we find a way to make it sustainable. And that includes not being afraid to go and ask for money. So when you think about how do I keep this going? How do I balance my priorities? You can't balance priorities if you're not getting by financially. You can't balance priorities if you're not getting by physically and with good mental wellness. You physically can't do it. So you have to find ways to either get paid to train, to get sponsorship. Some people do really, really well. They're personalities are great for finding and retaining sponsors, and find ways to sustain. So I think if I can bridge the question of how do you balance and juggle these priorities in your life, if towards more of a conceptual space, if you want to be a full-time content creator, you have to build a portfolio of income. Mm-hmm. You can have different things happening at different levels of your career. And you can also supplement that with working at, I don't know, Whole Foods, or finding a place that finds you some safety. Build a portfolio and find ways to make sure that you're being really realistic about your sustainability. That's so much easier said than done. But when you break it down into actuality of, here's my time pie, this is how much I need to make, and this is what I need to do to sustain, you can then target how you want to go out and do that. For us, we were really lucky. We got optioned by Optic TV, and that allowed us to put money. We decided where we wanted to put that money and how we wanted to reinvest it right back into Bombshell Brunches. But we had to have these business-based conversations right from the get-go. Otherwise, you're going to burn yourselves out.
Yeah. I think even if you don't want to be a full-time content creator, but this is something you want to do as a supplementary thing, having self-sustaining projects is also really important, because it does cost time and money to do. So even if you're not paying yourself, you need to think about the fact that you might be having like a Google workplace that you're paying for, right? You might be getting a domain. You might be paying Buzzsprout to host. You might be actually paying people to help you edit or produce or do the marketing or whatever piece of it that you don't have the skill set for. So you want to make sure that the project is at bare minimum self-sustaining for itself, and then that you're getting out of it whatever you want to get out of it, and you're feeling full and happy and creative, and that it's not feeling like a burden.
Exactly. Because I think, you know, what we see quite often is, being that we work with new and emerging creators, a lot of the creators that apply to us have never run a podcast before. They have an idea, they have a passion for a topic. And when they're coming to us, I think in a lot of instances, they're thinking very simply, I'm going to get some money and I'm going to create a podcast. They're not long-term visionaries of what that podcast is maybe going to require. They haven't being part of it. And I know for Cam and I in season one, we were very overwhelmed with the amount of work that it took to create this. So I think this is phenomenal advice for new and emerging creators, of things to think about when you want to jump into this space.
As seasoned podcasters, you both know it's good to switch things up from time to time. So how about we do that right now? Let's play a little game we like to call What's in Your Kit.
So here's the deal. We're going to give you each 30 seconds to tell us about your favorite podcasting software, hardware, or gadget. Who wants to go first?
Mine's fast.
Okay, Christina, let's start the clock. We'll go with you.
I'm obsessed with the 4K camera right now. That is amazing. It's an Insta360. I'm loving it. I am obsessed with my, I'm not using it right now, but my SM7B, which is my favorite podcasting microphone, but also really great if you're a musician and a songwriter. Those are my two non-negotiables.
We have the Insta360s too. We kind of love them. All right, Raquel, over to you. 30 seconds. What's in your kit?
I think the best thing in our kit is our people. So shout out to Chris, Cindy, and Glenn, who help us be amazing. I think having a proper mic set up, if you have a professional mic like what Christina does, is a bit like using a professional camera versus using your iPhone. There's many ways that you can do great work, but there's many more that you can mess up. So if you're going to go that route, have an audio technician behind you who can help you out, or go with something that's more like a lapel. So the Rode mic lapel is amazing. Opus Clips was a game changer this year, that basically you can upload all of your full podcast and it'll help you make these like awesome marketing clips. It is the best thing that has ever happened to me in the 5 years we've podcasted. Canva is a huge time saver, but my caveat is work with a professional designer if you can afford it. Get them to put your templates together for you and then select your templates based on your actual branding instead of trying to do it yourself and then everything looks all disjointed.
That's
and that's kit. Raquel's entire kit.
I'm going to say, I loved that you touched on artwork and stuff like that, like the branding, because that's so important for a podcast and to attract people, because that's what they see, right? Like I remember going, I'm going to date myself, to Blockbuster, and you'd walk down the aisle and you'd pick up that video because of what it looked like on the front of it, right? Or the same thing, I guess, flipping through Netflix now, you do the same thing and you click on something. So the branding piece and doing that, I think, is really important. So I'm glad you touched on that.
Yeah, we all judge books by their cover. I'm sorry. We just all do it.
We do.
Now let's tackle the question at the core of this episode. What's the point of actually doing a podcast? So for creators who are listening and still maybe on the fence about, should I actually create one? What kinds of new skills would they need to develop to become a podcaster?
Patience. Community building for us was a huge thing. This was bigger than our conversations. So we wanted to amplify and share undershared stories. Listening is a very obvious, but can be really hard to do, especially for someone like me who loves talking. And then skills that I didn't develop and I'm okay with because someone else did. Canva, design in general, visual things, and being concise. The final thing I would say is we learn to share from the scar and not the wound. Podcasting is forever. Someone can find your episode forever. Take care of yourself emotionally when you're doing it, because if you are sharing from a scar, it's so much more measured than if you are sharing from a wound.
I'm going to go super brief here because I've been a little long on other things, but following a story arc. There's an art to writing a script. And if you can follow a story arc and build a narrative and then be loose enough that you can take it wherever it needs to go in the moment, that's a really, really important skill. And I think that's an important skill you can take to a boardroom or anywhere else that you find yourself in life. Active listening, as Christina was talking about, so not just listening, but actively listening, being able to kind of, she's amazing at regurgitating these like gem drops. And then leaning on your team was a big one for me personally. So I'm much more of an individual. I love working with people and having a team, but being able to actually lean on them when you need to is a skill I had to develop. So thanks, Christina, for that one.
Sometimes it's hard to do that.
It is hard.
It is. Those type A personalities that want to do everything on our own. I feel you on that one. Now, Christina, I have a question because you touched on community building. And I know that you had a community, the Bombshell Brunches community, before you started the actual podcast itself. But I'd love to dive into a little bit on the benefits of podcasting when it comes to both networking and community building.
Yeah. What I like to say is podcasting is your mutually beneficial gateway to new people. So in terms of benefits, yes, we come from a very community-centered mindset. But what I love to say is creative careers are not ladders. They're jungle gyms. So you never know who you're going to meet and who is going to be your next client, your next collaborator. So in terms of building community, I would say there's endless benefits if you are authentically present in the reasons why you are doing it. That allows people to come to your table, the proverbial brunch table, and share in a way that makes them feel authentically seen, heard, and expressed.
Yeah, so I think podcasting is really interesting because from an audience perspective, it's a slow burn. So you build trust with them over time. You're showing up in their homes, on their runs, on their walks, at work, and you're building this parasocial relationship with people you may not have ever even met. And then there's a flip side of it, which is your guests. And so with your guests, you're bringing on people who inspire you, who you may have never had access to otherwise without having a podcast. And then all of a sudden, you're not just meeting them, you're having a deep 1 hour or more sometimes conversation with them. And you're talking about intimate moments in their life, their deepest fears, their biggest wins. And so it's a really easy way to build a really, really amazing relationship with people where you come out of this and you feel like you're long lost friends. And then you have another side, which is your team. So you build this fantastic team and you work together and you're in the trenches together. And so throughout all of that is this interweb of just a really beautiful community building experience.
I've been talking, well, I've heard community a couple of times and the networking pieces that are coming from the podcast as well. So What kind of doors have been opened for you through the podcast in terms of like attracting clients or maybe collaborators or just general opportunities? Like, have you seen that come from the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I can speak for myself. Christina's going to have her own stuff. But I mean, at this very moment, I'm working with Kate Bouchard doing communications at her agency, Armature Collective. She was a past guest. I'm working with another guest, Amrita, helping her with an evaluation strategy for her company, Groundwork. I work with RDC, which is the design company that we work with. Denise Williams is another guest that we had on the podcast. And while I'm not doing any active work with her, she works in the same realm as me. So she's become a kind of a collaborator and someone I can call up at late at night and talk through different concepts that we're working on or systems that we're working through. And so I never sought out to do the podcast to open doors. That was never really an intention of it. But because you're building those deep interpersonal relationships, these are things that just come to fruition naturally. And upon knowing someone and then meeting up monthly for brunches, you end up talking about what you're working on and these natural alignments just kind of pop up. So we've had incredible opportunities, never mind all of the opportunities through story hives that we've had. So I'll let maybe Christine, you want to talk about some of those, but those have been pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I like to say when you really declare what you want to do, you allow for your co-conspirators in your success to arrive. Podcasting is an incredible way of doing that. You make a declaration. This is who I am. This is what I believe in. This is what I care about. Will you join me? And that can go in every direction. So however you're thinking about opening doors, I would maybe flip that script a little bit and say, what space do you want to create for other people to enter into with you? And those things are endless. We've gotten to know the people around us who have wanted to support us. And those doors have opened when it's organically and mutually aligned and ready to happen.
To sum everything up that we've talked about, what, in your opinion, is the point to doing a podcast for new and emerging content creators?
For me, it's an easy one. I always go back to my original dream and why we started Bombshell Brunches in the first place. A podcast is a way to connect with people. It's a way to share ideas, get messy. It's a way to share and have deep conversations with people from all walks of life. It's a way to challenge the status quo. It's a way to push boundaries of typical conversation silos that we often find ourselves in. It's a way to include people in these conversations who may otherwise not know anyone else who they can have these conversations with. So they might not, as listeners, be actually in the conversation, but they can join throughout. I think it's a really incredible opportunity to be able to talk about some really hard things. At Bombshells, we do have some really tough conversations. It's not all just fun and games, but I feel like we do a pretty decent job at talking about them with levity and humor. Mm-hmm. So it allows people to join in on conversations they otherwise may not want to, and they can drop their walls and join us and have a good, fun conversation over tea.
I think, Cam, that's an exceptional question that every individual has an individual answer to. And my question on to the question is, what is your answer? As content creation, and I can't help but put my career coaching hat on, because this is what helps create sustainable creatives in this industry. Why do you think your podcast is important? Why do you think it's worth doing? And write those questions down. Make it really clear. Don't leave them in your head. And then at every juncture you can, like a reasonable amount of time, ask if you still care. That's it.
As emerging podcasters ourselves, it's been great chatting with you both today. Thank you so much for the conversation. But before we wrap up, we want to give you a chance to promote yourselves a little bit. We want to know how folks can keep up with your work, and maybe you're going to find your next one more episode guest.
So I think in 2026, we're really hoping to focus on some in-person events. We want to kind of take the podcast to the real world, since We're both in the same country, which is sometimes a rarity. We have a huge roster, as we've talked about, of past guests. And I have kind of this vision of bringing them into a room, doing a panel event, having people there, listeners there, where they can actually ask questions in real time. So if you're interested in that, head over to our website, www.bombshellbrunches.com. Sign up for our mailing list, where we will be letting you know when that's actually going to happen. And then you can follow us on Instagram, probably @_Raquel or @bombshellbrunches, or follow @mycristinalau. She didn't want me to say this, but she's an incredible singer and her Instagram is all about her music. So I think you should go over there. It's my son's favorite artist.
It absolutely is. And it's beautiful. We got to share it.
Best of luck with Bombshell Brunches going forward. And thank you both so much for joining us here on First Frame.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, Cam, that was another really interesting conversation. I think the most important part for our creators to keep in mind from my perspective was really think about why you want to jump into the podcast space and why you might want to create one, because podcasts really are meant for that long-term commitment and that longevity. And if you're someone that's new, that's diving into this, it doesn't need to be perfect. So jump in and you will learn along the way. You can always pivot. You can change, as Christine and Raquel have sort of mentioned throughout their 5+ journey doing podcasts. They were able to pivot. They adjusted how they were doing it. And that's completely okay. So what about you?
Well, just from the conversations, you could tell there's a lot of skills that you're going to learn when you do a podcast. And so if the podcast only lasts one season, you're still going to learn so much. Like when they talked about everything from building their community and their networking to the tools that they had to use for actually creating the podcast, then to marketing the podcast. And like, there's so many things that you need to think about when you're developing or creating a podcast. And like I said, if it is only one season, that's okay, because there's going to be so many things that you can take away and use for other content creation things that you're doing. And maybe it's not even content creation. It could just be in your daily job or other things that you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And that's a wrap.